You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Nope, not co-leader James Shaw. We've got co-leader Marama Davidson. Marama, how are you?
Morena Ruben. I'm really good, thank you.
Alrighty, so today we'll talk about stock monitoring cameras. So footage of a Northland share milker repeatedly beating cows with a metal pole was released late last week by Newsroom. The farm monitoring group that took the hidden footage says the Ministry of Primary Industries is incompetent when it comes to animal welfare issues, adding that MPI was only now acting because the animal rights group had gone public with the footage. MPI previously responded to complaints of abuse. And the Green Party animal welfare spokesperson Gareth Hughes shares similar criticism of MPI, saying they need to be much more proactive in visiting these farms and inspecting the welfare conditions of animals. He's also urging that the government look into changing the laws to allow the installation of cameras in milking sheds and slaughterhouses, as MPI is currently restricted by the law from doing so. So, Marama, what's your stance on the issue? Should MPI be given more investigative power?
Yeah, they should just also do the job that they've already got the power to do, actually. This should have been detected and prosecuted the first time the farm was investigated. I mean, there's, you know, I'll be up front, I haven't been able to watch the footage yet. I don't know about you, but the imagination of it is bad enough, and that's not what we want the reputation of our country to be, but it's just not what we want to do, right, as humans? Mm. We don't want to go down that path of beating animals with steel tubes. But you have to wonder why that even was allowed to happen in the first place. Clearly, if people think they can get away with it, it means that our testing and monitoring system is not good enough.
So MPI had previously been aware of the issue but did little about it at first. So do you think there's a lack of will to properly investigate these matters, or was it down to a lack of resourcing?
Certainly sounds like a lack of will. And this is why, you know, my colleague Gareth Hughes has also said we need an independent commissioner for animals for all of these inspections and to review, you know, are our systems strong enough? I think there's always a bit of, we have to look at how are the rules being applied. And so if MPI has this power, that's exactly why Gareth is calling for a review of how we investigate these occurrences, how we investigate this cruelty to animals, and whether or not we do need to give extra power, or whether it's just a case of MPI needing to apply the power it's already got better.
Yeah, so there have been calls to separate the roles of animal welfare and agricultural promotion, with some claiming that there's an inherent conflict of interest within MPI. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we need to look at that because agriculture across the board, the agriculture industry across the board, needs to, like every other industry, should have an independent monitoring and review system. And so if it's not in MPI's best interests to monitor one of the industries it's responsible for, you might have to wonder if that's a wise system to have, a robust enough system. If we are setting up an environment where people even think that beating animals with steel tubes is even possible, then I don't feel that our system is strong enough. And so it's not just about, oops, he got caught, we didn't do enough. It's also about, do we have a zero tolerance approach? I don't know if we do, and I think that perhaps it's showing that MPI isn't even capable of setting a zero tolerance approach to animal abuse, and perhaps that's good merit for independent commissioner.
So in order to get surveillance cameras in these farms and slaughterhouses, a change of law is needed. But considering Winston Peters and the minister responsible for animal welfare don't support the option of cameras, how likely do you think it is that a law change will occur?
Oh, I think we just, you know, the Greens are going to be really clear. We don't think this is good enough. It's not a reputation for the industry as well, let alone for the will of New Zealanders, and people want our primary industries to be run on an understanding that we just won't tolerate this approach. And so regardless of, you know, those cross-party and cross-government conversations will need to take place, and all I can speak to is the Greens will remain very clear. It's a long-standing position for us. A zero tolerance and approach to animal abuse is not a surprise for anybody, and it's a position that we will need to keep upholding.
Have you had conversations about this issue with any Labor MPs or New Zealand First MPs?
Not myself, mainly because it's not my particular portfolio, but if we are to take this forward, it's a conversation that I will absolutely be involved in as co-leader. I know that our welfare spokesperson, Gareth Hughes, has had many conversations over the years, as did Mojo Mathers, the previous holder of this portfolio, and so it'll be a matter of just picking up those conversations.
Alrighty, so we'll move on to the next topic, sustainable transport. So last Thursday, the government released their final policy statement on land transport funding, and it allocates up to $1.1 billion for new walking and cycling projects, up to $4.8 billion for rapid transit, and up to $8 billion for public transport over the next decade. And the Green Party has heralded this as the start of a new era of investment in sustainable transport in our towns and cities. So you must be pretty chuffed about this.
Yeah, I am actually. And, you know, of course I'm chuffed because it starts to deliver on what the Greens have always campaigned on, better transport. Better transport ticks a number of boxes, better for families, easing congestion on roads, more efficient spending, and absolutely a part of bringing carbon emissions to net zero by 2050 and low carbon transport alternatives to help us get on that path. But, you know, I have to talk about, I live in Manurewa, which is South Auckland. I am a part of a community that very much want to use more public transport. I remember sitting on a bus one day from the airport trying to get back home to Manurewa. There was one young family who stuck in my mind, a young couple and their young little babies, and we just were on the bus for over an hour because they cut some routes in South Auckland. They cut some of the bus routes, and we had to go around and around about for over an hour trying to get from one side of South Auckland to the other. Now, that's simply not good enough for families everywhere, and these are the sorts of, this is the funding that I've long wanted to see, which is going to help whānau and children and people who want to get out of the congestion and people who want to save money on their already stretched incomes every week, and people who also understand that using cars is not healthy for our environment, and so where possible, let's try not to. And so I absolutely welcome this.
So will most of the funding be allocated for Auckland?
There will be a heavy concentration on Auckland, and that pathway has also been announced. There will be a concentration on rail, light rail, city options, the Harbour Bridge, North Shore Rail is a campaign that the Greens have long campaigned on, and we will keep pushing for that. So yes, Auckland needs a shape up. Many of the towns and cities across New Zealand need a shape up. Our cycle and walking projects definitely need more support. I mean, just walking to school is critical, and a lot of young children aren't even able to do that. I can say that for a fact out in my area. The roads are too dangerous, and in some areas there aren't even footpaths. So, you know, this is welcome. Auckland does need to be fixed up, but all around the country as well.
So a lot of people would like to take public transport in, but they often find, including myself, that it's just not worth their time and money.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've worked out it's actually cheaper for me to drive to uni than to take the bus, and it takes me about half an hour to get to uni in rush hour, but on the bus it'll take me, I don't know, an hour and a half. So in terms of, yeah, the public transport aspect of this, will there be any increase in subsidies for the fares?
And so a reminder again too that another initiative the Greens want to see is the Student Green Card, which would be free public transport for off-peak hours for students, as well as the transport card we also wanted was actually low-income and people on children under 18 would be free, and all people with a disability would be free. We absolutely think that for people to actually work out that public transport is worth using, it needs to be more affordable, it needs to be more regular, it needs to be more efficient, it needs to stop breaking down. We need to have state-of-the-art train, light rail and buses. And so I completely sympathise with you and with everybody who looks at all the options. I just sat down with my big daughter who's starting a new job in the city and is trying to get from South Auckland where we live. I sat down with her to try and map out all of her options, and it's not an easy option. She's going to have to catch a train, park and ride, and two buses. So we've got to do better, and people actually want to. People want to use public transport, so I'd really like people to keep the government to account on what is needed for more people to get out of their cars.
Yeah, I so badly would love to take public transport, but I mean, I hate sitting in my car in traffic and not being able to read on the bus or something.
Yeah.
That would just be great. Or because I live in Mangere Bridge, and I'm just so surprised that there's no, you know, train line.
Totally. I totally agree. Like, when I have to be in Auckland and travel into the city, it's actually, it adds quite a bit of stress. I don't know about you, but driving in the traffic and feeling like you're just moving at such a slow rate and being stuck in traffic, just the optics of it around you, lots and lots of cars, is actually stress. It actually is not good for health as well. But you're right, people have to weigh up, and that's why we need more efficient and more regular transport services as well. So I think we're finally on the right track. For too many decades, since at least the 50s, we've been investing on motorways and more motorways, and all that happens is they fill up. I think this is a signal to change that thinking now, and I really look forward to more people feeling like they can catch public transport.
And so on the 1st yesterday, one of the fuel levies was implemented in Auckland. So how much of this is paid for by the new levies?
Yeah, so the 4 cents a litre extra on fuel will support an extra $5 billion of investment for more affordable public transport and safer roads as well. And just a reminder that we absolutely support maintenance and making sure we've got good rural roads. So it's not just about having good public transport in towns and cities, but it's also supporting the rural roads as opposed to urban motorway projects though. And so that fuel levy is going to help us with the investment that we need to make for more affordable public transport. Exactly the reason that you're sort of pointing out about it still can be quite expensive. I agree. It's a big chunk of money for anyone, including students. And so that 4 cents a levy will help people for public transport to be affordable.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on again, Marama.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.